You're listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who have lived them. Let's join Christine and find out who her guest is today.
Welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine Odell, and I am the owner of 8L's Publishing. Today, I have a great friend of mine here with me. His name is Lester Bailey, and he's married to another great friend of mine. Her name is Sandy. They have three grown children. They're also on the board of elders of Freedom Fellowship. And this is what I know of Lester. He is a strong intercessor because he has led several prayer teams for me, actually both in Southeast Asia and at Freedom. And I also know this about Lester. He's going to do whatever God tells him to do. And anybody that knows him knows that that is the truth. He's not going to be deterred in any way from what he knows God is asking him to do. And that was true even when he began to write his devotional entitled Modern Psalms, Real Emotions, Real Devotions. Well, welcome, Lester, to Renaissance Voices.
Hello.
So I have to ask you, did you ever see yourself writing a book?
Absolutely not.
So what happened then?
I just got a feeling or a direction one Sunday morning when another friend of ours, Mandy Owen, who is also an author with 8L's, Pastor John Bates was introducing her book one morning, Sunday morning, Where the Dirt Road Leads, and inviting people to her table afterwards, so for the book signing. And while he was doing that, the thought raced through my mind, you can do that. You can write a book. So my immediate response was a flippant, yeah, right, you can write a book. You know, I write papers for high school and college, and I write field notes and daily reports for my job. But writing a book wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even consider myself an author. So I went home and laid down that night, and my mind began racing with snippets from the first five poems, lines and phrases in random order, each one distinct from the others. And I was beginning to get frustrated because I go to bed kind of early, but this night I was later. I usually get up at 4 o'clock to go to work. And by now, I'm only going to be there less than 5 hours, but my mind's racing. And I couldn't sleep, and I was getting frustrated, and I literally said out loud, okay, I'll write them down. And immediately calm.
Yep.
Immediately calm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 3 or 4 hours later when I got up, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was charged. I was cranked up. And so I usually get to my parking lot at work about 30 minutes early before I have to go in, and because that's my quiet time. But this day, what was racing through my mind a few hours ago is now burning in my chest.
Right.
And, you know, Jeremiah talks about how the word of God being shut up in his bones and he couldn't hold it in. That's the way it was. It just came. I started typing it on my phone. Every minute that I wasn't doing something productive, I was on my phone. You know, my break time, my lunch times, I was out, still doing it after work in the parking lot before I could leave. I wrote the first five verses verbatim first day.
Just, wow.
They just came. I didn't change anything. I read over them and, you know, I didn't change them. Mm-hmm. And the next day it was four. I think the next was three or four. By the end of the week, I had 15 or 20 of them. Mm-hmm. And they were just coming. So, you know, what I do with them now, you know, I write poems all the time, mostly for special events, for birthdays, where I hid the Christmas presents. But this was different. It had a purpose.
Right.
I wasn't really sure what that was. And so I knew a few other authors at church, and I began to talk to them, but their suggestions didn't seem like they pertained, or I didn't feel like I needed to go that direction. When I got to talk to you, to begin with, you were very encouraging. You told me that I should share these because they were deep-seated prayers of mine.
Right.
And that's part of where the title come from, because David's prayers were what we call the Psalms. And then, you know, we begin the process of what my thoughts were about how, what the poems meant, and then the process of actually putting things together and writing the individual devotions.
I want to clarify, because you said, you know, the first five verses came, and when you use that word verses, you were meaning poems.
Yes.
Like, you got five poems that just came through inspiration of the Spirit that you didn't have to change. You just knew this is what God wanted you to say. And then that turned into 24 of them, because that's what's in this first book, right?
Mm-hmm. 24, yes, 24
lessons, all based off 24 different prophetic poems that the Lord gave you. And really, when you, if you thumb through, for those that are wondering, what does a devotional look like that has poems in it? Lester not only wrote these poems, he created doodles, because that's something that he does as well in his life. And he created these doodles to go with each lesson so that you could process the poem. So you read the poem, then there's a whole lesson that is built around the poem that's got, you know, built around in the scriptures and taken us through how those scriptures apply to our lives today. With some applications to work through for you, and then those doodle pages where you can just reflect and pray and meditate and be with God and really just, you know, spend that quality time with Him. And I have to tell you, Lester, that this is just such a, it's a beautiful devotional. I have one son that I still have at home that I homeschool, and I am always looking for things that I know will speak to him. He's very creative. He's very prophetic in himself. He loves music. He is, you know, he writes. And so I gave him this devotional as one of his books for this year, his senior year in high school. And he told me it was one of the his favorite things that he did this year. And I knew it would be, because it spoke to who he is. And to me, what this devotional does, it kind of opens up that Davidic heart. You kind of said it before. You talked about the Psalms being David's prayers. And that's what it opens up. It opens up that prophetic, Davidic, you know, psalmist, the writer. Because this is what I love about the prophetic. There's so many nuances in it. You know, some people are seers, some people are hearers, some people are writers, and all of it can be driven by the prophetic. And then really a lot of us are a lot of those things. You know, but I just want to say to you, it was an honor to help you kind of formulate what this could possibly be, because I think it's something that is so needed in the moment. It's encouraging, it's enlightening, it's deepening, and it's obviously birthed in the Spirit.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it by myself. You know, my family, my girls, my grown girls had a contributed immensely. You guys helped me more than I could express. Pretty much everyone, God allowed or put people in my sphere of influence that I needed, that had tool sets that I lack in. And the reason this thing looks as good as it does and reads like it does is because of all you guys. And I'm very appreciative of that.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was an honor for us. I do want to, you know, we talked to Pastor John last week about his book on the fruit of the Spirit. So I do just kind of want to touch on what it means to operate out of the prophetic, because the prophetic, really, if you read the book of Revelation, it talks about the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Well, how do we testify of Jesus through the prophetic? You know, we know that Jesus no longer walks the earth, right? He has always been. Jesus is God, so he's always been. He came down to the earth and walked with mankind and had his ministry here, and it was a supernatural ministry. But he was a man. You know, it says, the Bible says that he emptied himself. He emptied himself of the ability to walk as God, and he walked like us as a man. But he relied on the Holy Spirit to do that. And so in that reliance of the Holy Spirit, he did miracles. He knew things about people. He knew how to read their hearts. You know, the scripture in John says he knew what was in a man. You know, that those are elements of what we walk in today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all of that that Jesus exhibited for us on the earth, now we can walk in because of the way that Holy Spirit empowers us and the gifts that he gives us. And so going back to that understanding of prophecy being the testimony of Jesus, who we're testifying of is now the risen Savior who's seated in heavenly places. And we now can still, you know, move in those supernatural ways because of the work of the Spirit. So having said that, you know, what gifts do you think were in operation as you wrote your devotional?
Vision, for one, mm-hmm. because a lot of times I see things in visions, mm-hmm. Even to the point of superimposed on what I'm seeing sometimes. Dreams, some, but for me it's more vision, more like a daydream.
Right.
You know, you can engross yourself in a daydream to the point where you're kind of oblivious to what's going on around, but I don't have to engross myself in the daydream. It comes to me.
Yes.
So the daydream, if you want to call it that, that's what I'm likening it to, because that's the most correct, or the closest thing I can describe as a lot of times is what I see is more like a daydream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do see things like superimposed on objects and right. colors and things.
Right. You came to me and you would show me a list of the different poems after they were written, and you would talk about how you were on the job, you know, at work, and these poems would just come, and in that you were seeing things. You weren't just sitting down with words and writing. You were visualizing through the Spirit what these poems looked like. And then you would sit down and you would articulate what you saw.
Pretty much, yes.
That is different in the way that I operate as a scribe. I can operate as a seer in the Spirit. But normally when I sit down and write, I will just have inspiration in my heart. And as I put my fingers to the typewriter, I know what it is that the Lord is wanting me to say, or the direction, and I write it out. To me, that's a scribal gift, where I am partnering with the Lord to create language that he is wanting to release in the earth. But what you describe is something a little different in the fact that it's more of a seer gift. And yet he was allowing you to take that and hone it down, you know, hone it in and then release it on the pages, which I think is really interesting because, you know, we've just come out of a discipleship series at Freedom where we talked about the different ways we hear God. Some of us are feelers, some of us are knowers, seers, hearers, thinkers. And yet all of it is the way that we process the heart of God and hear his voice. And so for me, that's what I see was happening with you. You were seeing, you know, it was your seeing gift. And yet, because you could so capture the heart of God in that, you were able to take it and articulate it in a book. And you know, I want to say this to you, Lester, that one of the things that I prayed about before I ever started my publishing company was that these books would have a supernatural touch on them, that when people opened them up and read them, they would experience the Holy Spirit. Well, in order to do that, you know, they have to be birthed from the Holy Spirit. And I so know that that's exactly what takes place when people read your devotional.
Well, not only did I see the poems or the verses, I felt them.
Yeah.
Some of the verses came from, or you could loosely base them on some of my experiences. Mm-hmm. Some of them, you know, the waterfall, for instance, you know, one of my favorites. I have two favorites, but one, the waterfall, for instance, you know, you you're stressed, you go to find a place to where you can just breathe for a minute and then realize that God is there wanting to call you back, wanting to have time with you. Mm-hmm. And then you can engross yourself in God's presence and be changed. But I felt those things, and some of them I actually have not physically or personally experienced until I wrote about them. And then it's like, you know, then it was like I was there,
right.
Even though some of the first ones, there are some of them in the next book, and there's one coming. I have nearly all the verses now. There's some of the other ones that they're the same way. You know, I experienced them as I wrote them, mm-hmm. like someone who lived that.
Right.
And that's different for me.
Yes. That's very often how I write. I will have experiences as I'm writing so that I know. I think it's part of that is the supernatural gift of teaching, because we, you know, God wants to work it in us so that we understand it, so that when we articulate it, it's coming out with, you know, his heart behind it. And so for me, that is also the ministry of intercession. And I know that you are a strong intercessor. And I know that for several reasons. You know, I have been so blessed to be able to lead people into Southeast Asia. And every time, except for two, Lester has been able to go, and he has been the lead intercessor over the team. And, you know, that seeing gift, I can remember we would be sitting on the plane sometimes, and you would say to me, you would be over there praying. You are always so just surrendered to what God wants in the moment, you know, and you would say to me, okay, when you get off the plane, we're going to experience this and this and this. And, you know, and then we would look and there it was. But because you could do that for us, it prepared the team to know how to, you know, to walk in wisdom, because we were going into territory we didn't know anything about. So for me, that gift of intercession really is that deep fellowship with God, just allowing him to move through you as you pray, as you seek him, as you spend time with him, and then him revealing things, you know, that we needed to know. And I always felt covered. I always felt safe. You know, we work with tremendous pastors over there, and they love the Freedom Teams when they come. But one of the things that they always ask is, where is Lester? Now, they don't use the word Lester sometimes. What do they call you over there?
Kafirong.
And what does that mean?
Big like elephant.
Because how tall are you, Lester?
I'm 6'1".
You're 6'1". And you know, Southeast Asian people are smaller people than us Americans.
I never won the bow thing. You know, when you meet people in Southeast Asia, they bow. And the person that bows the lowest,
yes,
shows more honor. I lost that one immediately.
You can't get there. Yes. You can't get there. Except for the time that you were sitting in the chair. Because, you know, wherever we eat, they're so honoring, and they create a table for their guests that you know, is special. But everywhere you go is plastic chairs. That's all that there is almost in Southeast Asia. And so you being 6'1", you know, we would always kind of laugh. Okay, when is Lester going to bust through this chair? Because they're not only are they plastic, but they're small.
Very small.
They're very small. And so we're sitting there one time, you know, with pastors, with other leaders, you know, and I look over and I see this expression on Lester's face, and I hear him go, uh-oh. And then we're there, down he went. So you won the bow challenge at that point because
yeah,
you were on
I
the
did.
Ground. But yeah, I love that they call you that. And I love that they always ask about you no matter what. You made quite an impression on them.
What a great conversation. Let's take a break to talk about the Write My Story Challenge, hosted by Taylor Brands and 8 Hours Publishing. This is a 5-day live training guiding you through writing, publishing, and releasing your redemption story. Go to the link in the show notes to register today. Let's get back to the show.
You were able to really flow in the gifts in such a way that I knew, you know, what we needed to do in the moment. And there was such a release of what God wanted to do in the services. And you would kind of stand in the back and just pray over everybody. You would watch, you would see, you would know how to pray. And that ability to move in spiritual gifts like that, you know, is so needed and so important. You know, Pastor said it last week. He said the fruit and the gifts are equally important. I would say yes and amen to that wholeheartedly. So what do you think people that maybe don't know anything about the Lord, maybe they know Jesus, but they're not really familiar with moving in the fullness of the gifts. If they were to open your devotional, how do you think they would encounter God?
To begin with, I think that they would see themselves in somewhere, maybe several places. I have seen myself, my before Jesus self and my after Jesus self, you know, in several places. And so I think that God would use that. I hope he would. I believe he is. Use that to bridge the gap between, you know, I'm so bad that God don't want to touch me to maybe I can because he uses Lester, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, another one of my favorite verses was 8, I think it was 18, it's called The Jokester.
Yes.
You know, jab, pick, and quip, don't care whose feelings I nip.
Yes.
That was Lester. That was absolutely Lester.
Yeah.
That wasn't on purpose. You know, I got through with it. I looked at it and said, wow, that's me.
Yeah.
But, you know, God changed a whole lot of things in Lester. And I'm thankful, very thankful, because I probably wouldn't be a free person right now if it wasn't for that.
Right. You know, Lester, that's all of our stories. I don't know if you've heard Mandy, her interview. You know, we talk about where both of us had come from and some of the things that we've walked through. That's just who Jesus is. And that's, you know, I want to say that to anybody listening that, just like Lester said, if you think, you know, well, all of this sounds great, I just don't think it applies to me. I feel like I've made so many wrong choices or I've just been through too much and I can't be perfect enough for God. I can't be good enough for God. The thing is that none of us are good enough for God. That's the whole point of the gospel message, is that we don't have what it takes to be right before God within ourselves. And the cross is the great equalizer of all mankind. We all come to the cross broken and lost and undone. And when we believe on Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and we say to him, I want to turn away from all of that and I want to walk fully toward you, then he comes in and he changes us. Now, that change is immediate and it's over time.
Continuous, yes.
It's immediate in the fact that we're reborn. We're created again. We're made into a new creation. But then as we learn to let go of old mindsets and take hold of the heavenly mindsets and the ways of the kingdom and the ways of the Spirit, we are continually changed to be more like Jesus as we walk with him. And to me, that's what your devotional does. It goes straight to the heart of where somebody might be. And it gives them the next step. The next step, just turn toward Jesus. Turn toward the thought process of the kingdom. Turn toward what the Bible says is true, and think upon that and meditate upon that, and then make a step toward it. And as you do those things, you're going to find the freedom from the shame and the guilt and the pain that's universal to all of us. All of us. And that's what I think I love about the Eight Owls authors, is that we are so real in what we're writing. You know, some of us are writing stories that are our redemption story, and they're real and they're raw. Some of us are writing, fictitional, like novels, but have that allegorical Christian aspect to them. And in that, it's real and it's raw. And then you, with this devotional, it's just real and raw. And yet it just offers the solution that Jesus has for all of us. You know, I have a couple of excerpts that I want to read. And then I want to get your thoughts about them. One of them was chapter 4. And it says this: although anxiety may be on the rise, it is not new. Paul addressed anxiety in his letter to the Philippian church. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a verse from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And then in your devotional, you talk about that Greek word used for anxious means a feeling of being pulled apart, divided, or something that is being pulled in opposite directions. So when we talk about the peace of God in relation to that definition of anxiety, what would you like to say to somebody that is dealing with tremendous anxiety coming out of this, you know, pandemic that we've been in, and doesn't really understand the peace of God?
Well, it's indescribable. Mm-hmm. The transition between the anxiety, the gut-wrenching emotions that you feel, like you can't escape, you feel like you can't surmount or go around or even deal with, the transition into God's peace. For one, it's easy to believe that God cannot surmount that obstacle,
right?
But that it will happen to a point where it's indescribable.
Right.
The transition that God puts into place between where we are and where we need to be in the beginning and continuously. I mean, that transition feeling, that transition step, that transition moving forward is the same, you know, is whether you've just started or whether you've been doing it for 40 years.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, Bible says we move from glory to glory. As we move into God's presence, God changes us from where we are to where we need to be. And that change is a continual thing.
Yep.
And that change is always awe-inspiring.
Yes.
Always.
Always. It is.
And that's why it's always new.
Yeah.
It's always new. And so, you know, I haven't ever gotten to a point where, you know, I feel like that, oh, well, I know this, mm-hmm. because I don't know it. Mm-hmm. Right. I know some of it.
Sure.
But God opens things. God opens your vision. You read a verse you've read literally 1,000 times, and all of a sudden you see another aspect of it.
Right.
Or you see another application of it. Or you'll hear a sermon from someone who said, think about this. Mm-hmm. Use the same verses that you've read 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. You know, I read the Bible through once, two, three times a year sometimes.
Yep.
Just to read it through like a book.
Yep.
And amazingly enough, things just open up.
Right.
I hear directions. I hear someone else's perspective on a verse or a story. I read storylines. I've never been a chapter and verse guy, mm-hmm. so much, mm-hmm. But I remember storylines. I remember because of context. You know, David thought this because he was dealing with this, you know. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all those guys, you know, I read the storylines and I try to put the verses in context. And that context, along with the way God moves in us and through us, opens things.
It does. It does. I love how you said those guys. You know, you were talking about the major prophets and you said those guys because they were. They were just people. They were people that encountered God and did amazing things for God, but it wasn't because they were, you know, something extra special. They were just people. And that's what prophetic ministry does. It just comes and it, you know, we talked about last week with Pastor John, we talked about what it means to be an empowered person by the Spirit. And when you are empowered by the Spirit, you and walking with the Lord and abiding with the Lord, then, you know, your speech, the way that God can use you is beyond what you really thought possible. And you know, there's a story that he writes through us. So I love the fact that you talked about, you know, what it really means to appropriate the peace and that's something that we will be doing throughout our journey. But you know, that definition that Paul used, that feeling of being pulled apart, divided, or something being pulled in opposite directions, that's what sin does. It pulls us apart. And yet what God wants to do is bring wholeness and put us back together. And the peace of God that does surpass all understanding is that tangible presence of the work of God that pulls us back together, that makes us whole and allows us to walk in a manner of faith and joy and really understanding the fullness of what salvation is. So, you know, Lester, you also talked about just the waterfall, and you talked about people that might be dealing with stress. In chapter 15, you talk about stress, and you say this: stress is a natural part of our lives. When we say, "I'm stressed," we are noticing our physical body in a heightened state of readiness. Our stress response happens when we perceive danger and is a real way of strengthening our muscles and alertness in order to respond quickly. How we react to perceived threats determines the degree of the stress response in our body. This natural response should help us see clearer and react appropriately so that we can avoid danger. But sometimes that stress level is increased exponentially to the point where we just can't see past the circumstances. They seem too high to climb, too far to go around, and the intensity of the heat brings our faculties to the boiling point. This happens when we are under chronic stress. Desperate for relief, we look for a place of solitude to escape, if only for a moment, and we allow our minds to wander to places more peaceful in an attempt to enjoy at least a strained state of relaxation. And again, it's that idea of anxiety, that idea of chronic stress that I feel like we collectively as a society right now are having to battle through. And you addressing those things in your devotional and then helping us to appropriate the peace of God in the midst of it all, you know, is to me, this is something that was written for this hour. It was written for this time. God, in his mercy, knew what we were dealing with, you know, and he didn't leave us alone in any of the circumstances we found ourselves in the pandemic. He was so very close to us, to the point that he finds a guy, right? He finds a guy, and he says, "Hey, I have something for you to do, something you never thought you would do, Lester, and yet here you are, you know, talking about this book that you wrote." And that's the beautiful thing about prophetic ministry, about the gifts of the Spirit, that he just comes and he says, "I found a guy." He's usually looking for somebody who loves him wholeheartedly, not perfect by any means, but just loves God and will be pliable in his hands and will allow God to do what he wants done in the earth, right? And so he found a guy in Lester Bailey, and he said, I'm going to give you these visions because I know that you will process them well. I know that you understand the gospel message. I know that you understand how people need me. And because of who you are, because you're just about as real as they come, then I know that you'll write that on the pages, and I am going to use this devotional to help somebody. That's just what God does. So, you know, I know this to be true. Again, going back to Southeast Asia, Lester is not afraid to go to where people are hurting. I'm not afraid to go to where people are hurting because we've been people that are hurting, you know? And maybe one of my favorite times, even though we didn't fully see what we wanted to see in the moment, was when we as a team were in Cambodia, and the pastor we were working with there works with a village there in Cambodia and took us to the school. There were 800 children, 800 children in this little school in this village that, you know, didn't have much, but they had a lot of joy.
They had a lot of joy. They were happy.
They were happy running all over the place. So happy to see us. You know, we were actually the very first Westerners that had ever gone to that village. I don't know if you knew that or if you remembered that. And I remember they wanted to touch us, you know, because we were different than what they were used to. But
My daughters have long hair and it's lighter colored, and they was touching their hair and you know, I have one daughter that's white as a sheet of paper.
Yes.
And yeah, they would rub her hands, and yeah, she laughs about that.
When we were done with the school, the pastor asked us if we would go pray for a lady. And so we weren't really sure what all that meant, but we walked over to the village. We met the village chief. We had to ask him permission to come into the village and pray for this lady, and he granted us permission to do that. And then we walked over I don't know how to describe it. How would you describe what we walked up to?
The closest thing I could think of here in the States would be a chicken coop.
Yeah.
With no wire on it.
Yes.
It was a platform, probably 5 foot square.
Just plywood, right?
Just wood, not even plywood, just planks.
Yeah.
A foot or foot and a half off the ground. Had some posts and a little rickety top on it that was about 5 foot off the ground. And yeah, this little lady was sitting there in a fetal position.
She was.
Pretty much. Covered in a shawl-like covering. I mean, you know. And she wouldn't look at us. Mm-hmm. She was afraid to look at us. She was terrified. The member of the pastor said that she had been given to a witch doctor when she was younger.
Yes.
And who knows what happened there.
Right.
And she just closed down. She was introverted. And apparently she ran rampant through the village at all hours, you know, much like the man in the Gadarenes.
Right.
That was the picture that I got when they were telling us how she would go from introverted to extroverted in, you know, a few seconds.
Right, right. They did tell us that they didn't know if she would throw things at us and yell and scream at us and all of that, but we never experienced that from her. What we actually found, it just broke our hearts, you know, here this little frail woman living in this condition, all covered up, and I can remember what it felt like around that wooded pen thing. It felt lifeless. There was no breeze. there were no birds. We were out in the open, and earlier I had noticed birds and all of that. There was like no movement of anything, and the air felt very stagnant. And so we just began to pray for her. We began to sing. We called out to her. We told her about the love of God. We told her we weren't there to hurt her in any way. A couple of us, she actually let us go into the pen and lay our hands on her. We touched her. When we first touched her, she pulled away. But then we laid our hands on her again, and she just kind of sat there for a little bit. And although we didn't see fully the manifestation of her freedom that we would have liked to have seen, I do remember a sense of peace coming in as we were sitting there. The breeze came through, and if you remember, the kids started
running and coming up. And
this little family of ducks, all about the same time. And then birds started flying over the air. And so what that said to me was that God was working, even when we couldn't see the full effect of it, that all of a sudden life had blown into that area. And she was allowing us to place our hands on her and pray and tell her that we were not going to hurt her. And tell her, we were telling her we were sorry that she was so hurt, and that Jesus was sorry that she was so hurt, but that he could heal her in an instant. And when the atmosphere shifted like that, you know, we just had to trust that God knows how to open her up little by little by little, you know, and that he had done a work there that day that maybe we couldn't understand fully, but we knew he had done it. And what I can remember about you that day is the way that you just interceded over the team. You would let us know what you were experiencing, what you were feeling, how we needed to pray in the moment, when we needed to sing. You just were so in tune to what God wanted to do in the moment. And to me, Lester, you know, that's kind of how we started this conversation, that I know that Lester is going to do what God tells him to do. So I'm just very thankful you wrote this devotional. And it has a touch of the Spirit on it that I know God is going to use it in ways that maybe you don't even see. But I love the fact that is how the kingdom of God works. It's like a seed that's dropped into the ground of our hearts, and it germinates. And the words that you wrote on the page are all seeds that are going to drop into the hearts of people who need it, and it's going to germinate, and it's going to bring forth life, whether you get to see it all or not, because that's who God is, and he's faithful to perform that which he sends his word out to do. So thank you for your obedience in that. I do want to say this before we wrap up, that on my website, if you go to 8owlspublishing.com, there is another link there that leads you to my first website, which is christineodell.com. And on the front page of that website is a place that you can donate to that particular Cambodian village, because what the pastor wanted to do there was to build a library for those children. And so we wanted to help facilitate that. And there is a link there to give directly toward books for those Cambodian children. They would be English books, you know, books that would teach them about who Jesus is. Those teachers of that school were so open to that, and they were so appreciative to that. And so if that really touches your heart, we would love for you to partner with us. And you can email me if you have any other questions. But Lester, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for allowing me to be your guest.
I really enjoyed this conversation as well. I love the people I go to church with. We have some of the most amazing people at Freedom Fellowship. We will be talking to another author next week. We drop our episodes every Tuesday. Please go back and listen to those that maybe you haven't listened to yet, and get the heart behind 8 Owls Publishing, because you're going to find that there's just some phenomenal people that are just regular guys that God is using.
Thank you for listening to Renaissance Voices. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from your favorite authors at 8 Hours Publishing. You can also follow us on our social media, linked down in the show notes. Dios los bendiga.